Great. So I just want to say it's a privilege to be able to be here together with you today, privilege to be able to share your word, share God's word with you at least. I'm not something that I take lightly. There's a weightiness to it, but just to say that I'm very grateful to God for the opportunity, and I trust that God will work in our hearts as I share what's on my heart for this morning, just as he has done so with me in my preparation. So if you have your Bibles here, which I really hope and trust that you do, please could you open them to the book of Acts. Going to be going to Acts chapter 2. We're going to be referencing a lot of scripture this morning. Most of the scripture should come up on the big screen behind me if you don't have your Bible. And we won't have time to turn to all of the scriptures this morning, but there are some specific ones that we will be turning to. So we're going to start off with Acts 2:42. And as I said, Acts 2:42, hopefully your Bible just kind of opened there anyway, because that's probably quite a key scripture for us. And hopefully you didn't go, oh no, not again, Acts 2:42. So hopefully we can take a bit of a different look at it this morning. So Acts 2:42 says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." So, John, I don't know if I'm doing something that's making this, or if I just carry on. Tell me if it irritates you, I'll move over to the handheld. Yeah. All right, so if I can read that scripture again. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." What I'd really like to focus on this morning is the part where it says they devoted themselves to the fellowship. So a certain fellowship that they were devoting themselves to. And we're going to look at that word fellowship. If you look at our website, you'll see some of our values, prayer being one of them that Jono preached into last week. Fellowship is another one. And as you read our website, you'll see how we partner together and we engage in fellowship. And it all sounds very New Testamentish, all right? So it sounds like words we've heard before. And it's very easy for these words to kind of just flow over our head because we've heard them so often. A few weeks ago, us elders had a time together and someone came and spoke just on the meaning of the word partnership and the word fellowship. And afterwards, I was quite stirred, so I went and did a bit of a word study on that word partnership. And because our life group is doing Greece on Friday night, I decided to go and look what this word fellowship was in the Greek. Should I use that rather? Huh? Cool. Before I get going.
Before I get warmed up.
Yeah. Do you want to unclip me there?
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that part. I feel more comfortable doing some things for myself. Thanks, Jono. Great. So I thought it would be appropriate since we are doing Greek. Our life group is Greek, so that'll be probably the best table on Friday night if anyone's coming. I thought it's appropriate to look at that word fellowship. So Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the fellowship. So what does fellowship mean? Everyone, as I send out the word fellowship, some kind of thought comes into your mind. Everyone's got a different idea of exactly what that fellowship is. And what I'd like to do this morning, just the picture I had, is to take that word fellowship and to be able to get the full breadth of exactly what it means and the full depth of what it means as well. So to take us from a very limited idea or understanding of fellowship to a much wider and deeper revelation of that word. So the word translated into the Greek, or from the original translation of the Greek, is koinonia. All right, and koinonia isn't translated just as one word, isn't translated just as fellowship. So koinonia means partnership, participation, communion, to communicate, and so on. So it's a much broader definition. So we're going to be looking at that this morning. When I throw out the word fellowship to you, what is the first thing that pops into your mind? What are some of the things? Anyone? This is like a chance for you to speak this morning. Fellowship. Friendship. Friends. Bra, there we go. Chilling, knowing each other. Okay, so those are quite rightly the same idea that I have. If I throw out the word fellowship, those are the things that kind of come to mind. Us spending time together, enjoying each other's company, having a bra, chilling, chatting, that type of thing. All right. If you came to me and said to me, you've heard of this thing called Table Mountain. Can I explain it to you? And I said, yeah, it's a mountain. Okay, I've explained. Well, it's not wrong what I've said, is it? I said it's a mountain. Yes, it's a mountain. But that would give you a very limited picture of what Table Mountain actually is, wouldn't it? If you'd never seen Table Mountain before, but you read it on a website somewhere, Table Mountain, oh, it's a mountain. But if you came to me and said, what's Table Mountain? And I said, well, it's an incredibly big mountain, a beautiful mountain, which is shaped like a table. It's in the Western Cape in Cape Town. There's a whole lot of history attached to it. And when the settlers came to South Africa, and there's a cable car system, and you can walk up it, and you can drive up the back of it, and there's gardens. You can run up it if you're crazy enough. There's like so much you can do. I could sit for like half an hour describing Table Mountain to you. I could go into like not me personally explaining the plants and whatever you found on Table Mountain, but there's so much. We'll get Nas to do that for you. But there'd be so much more that you could do to explain what Table Mountain is than just saying it's a mountain. And I really feel, just after looking at this word koinonia in the New Testament, that when we translate it as fellowship in Acts 2:42, it's such a limited meaning. It's like me saying Table Mountain is a mountain. There's so much more to it than what we originally read. So what I did, I did a bit of a study. It's fun to study the word. If you're not used to it, I encourage you to do it. Find something that interests you. Find a topic or a word or something and go and get a concordance. There are many concordances available online. All you need is a concordance. You need the Holy Spirit to come and guide you, and a good Excel spreadsheet like helps with most things in life, including studying the word, to make notes, make lists. And you can really dig into the word for yourself and get a better meaning. I trust you'll get something out of what I shared today, but when you go and study the word for yourself and spend time and dig and pour and turn over and look at references, you really learn so much more. So if you take that word koinonia, right, and you get your concordance and you search for every time koinonia is mentioned in the New Testament, you find it 19 times, all right? In those 19 times, I'm referring specifically to the ESV now when I talk about the translation. When they translated the New Testament from Greek into English, those 19 times, they translated the word koinonia into 6 different words. Okay, so the one word is the word fellowship that we read about in Acts 2:42. Another word is part. There's partnership. There's participate. There's share. And there's contribute. Okay, now all of those words mean slightly different to just fellowship. When I asked you for some ideas of what fellowship means, all those words mean slightly different to just the fellowship or chilling around the briar. And that is the way that the New Testament has been translated. So if we want to get a full picture of what this fellowship is, let's have a look at some of the other places in the New Testament where the word koinonia has been translated, and let's get a better understanding. I must say, when I went through this, I actually felt almost like robbed. I felt like all these years, as many times as we've quoted Acts 2:42, we've really been limited. It's like really been a narrow, devoted themselves to the fellowship. It's a really narrow definition or narrow translation of what I believe the word is trying to teach us in this. So the first scripture, which you don't need to turn there, but it'll be on the screen, is Philippians 1 verse 5. Paul says, I thank God in all my remembrance of you because of your partnership in the gospel. All right, so the word here is partnership. Okay, so koinonia has been translated into the word partnership. So Paul says, I thank you for your partnership in the gospel. I thank you for your fellowship in the gospel. If we want to take that Acts 2:42, and I'll do this a couple of times this morning, we'll take Acts 2:42 and we'll substitute that word fellowship for whatever the other word that's been translated is. So in this example, we can say they devoted themselves to the partnership. All right, so what is that word? That word partnership is different to the word fellowship, isn't it? Partnership suggests there's you're actually coming together to do something. All right, think of you probably think of a business partnership. First, I must apologize to my life group because they've been through this teaching once already, but they've also contributed towards the message, so thank you for that. But a partnership, you think of a business partnership, right? That's when everyone comes together. Everyone's got a specific part to play in the partnership. Is that right? Everyone contributes their bit. Okay, so if Jono wants to start a cupcake business, right, and he knows how to cook, but that's all he knows, he just knows how to cook, then he goes to Devin, who knows how to market, and he says, okay, Devin, I can cook the cupcakes, can you market? And they say, yes, we need someone to supply the financing. So they go to Louis, and Louis supplies the financing, and then they go to Justin, and Justin says, well, I'm a very good marketer, I'll know who to sell this stuff to. They get together, and they make a partnership, and in the partnership, each person has a role to play. Right, that's why it's partnership. When we spoke about this in Life Group, we said another partnership is a marriage partnership. And some of the ladies thought that was a bit clinical term to use, but too clinical if you think of marriage as a part. But it's a partnership. I mean, Chantel cooks the food, I eat the food. You know, I make the mess, I clean the mess up. It's like it's we work as a partnership. Marriage, whether you like, if you think it's clinical or it's a partnership. We each bring something, hopefully, to the table. We each come in, we play our part. And this scripture in Philippians 1 verse 5 says that we partner in the gospel. So that speaks to me of a specific purpose. All right. So yes, fellowship is lacquer. It's lacquer to have the brine, to chill and relax and have the coffee at the back afterwards. But if that is all we're doing when we fellowship together, friends, we're missing out on a whole nother part. We partner together. We get together. And the purpose that the word speaks about, that Paul speaks about here, the partnership, was actually sharing the gospel. So that was the part. That was, they weren't getting together to make cupcakes. They were getting together to advance the kingdom of God, to teach the word of God amongst those who don't know it. So that's partnership, all right? They devoted themselves to the partnership. And Philemon 1 verse 6 says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective. Right, now, if you look at that scripture, it's the sharing of your faith will become effective. Would you have ever known that the word sharing there is koinonia? So again, the sharing of your faith. So it's not just fellowship as we see fellowship, but actually to share our faith when we go out and we tell others, when we are examples to those who work with us or those whose kids are at school with our kids, or when we are with others and we share the faith, that's part of the fellowship, is actually sharing what God's placed inside of us. So Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the sharing of the faith as well. All right, just starts giving us a little bit of a broader picture of what this word fellowship actually means. And again, it's sharing faith, which is gospel linked. Right, so we're partnering in the gospel together, sharing the faith, sharing the word of God. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 to 16 says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What fellowship has light with darkness? Right, so scripture is telling us that light and darkness cannot exist together. All right, so what you learned at school is how opposites attract. Okay, the word tells us that light cannot live with darkness. And it says, what partnership can light have with darkness? That means this word partnership has a certain depth to it. All right, so when I'm watching sports on a Saturday morning, when I'm watching my kids playing sports, and I'm standing next to another dad on the side of the rugby field, we can have fun together. We can make jokes and comments and shout for our boys and shout at the ref and do all sorts of things together. But that is not the same as this fellowship or partnership. This partnership is something that we have together. There's a depth to it. If one person is in light and the other person is darkness, the word says there's no fellowship. All right, there's no partnership that we can have. We can be friends with each other, we can encourage, we can be there to share the faith, to share the gospel. But this true fellowship that's spoken about in Acts 2:42 does not come from that type of relationship. There's a depth to it. All right, so being partners together means that we have a common mind. All right, we like-minded, we have a common heart. We want to see things done the same way. We understand scriptures in a similar way. Then we can partner with one another. 2 Corinthians 8:4 says, he says, they were begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. Right. Begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. Now this scripture, like, it actually almost like cracks me up. To think of men and women begging to help. Right. So that word part is koinonia. All right. That word fellowship. So when was the last time someone came to you and begged to help you? When was the last time someone came and said, please, I want to help. You're moving house. I have to be there to help you. I'm going to do everything I can to come and help you. They were begging them to take part in this mission and this thing that God was doing through them. There was such a desire in them for that koinonia, that fellowship, to actually come and take part. And I think when I read scriptures like this, I think that we're missing it somewhere, friends. This is what it actually meant when in Acts 2:42, when they lived together and they partook and they shared everything. This is part of what it meant. They were begging to take part in the gospel, take part in what God was doing. And this really is like, it's true Christianity, isn't it? It's really giving of themselves saying, not worried about my time, my stuff, my whatever, my preferences. I want to be generous. I want to take part in what you're doing here. I don't want to just live for myself. Similarly, 2 Corinthians 9:13 says, by their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission, flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and all others. That word contribution is koinonia. Right, so contributing, giving. All right, giving to others, not just for myself again. So how about if Acts 2:42 said they devoted themselves to the contributing? All right. It's maybe starting to get a little bit less comfortable than the word fellowship. Because contributing isn't always so lekker. Like sometimes it is when it suits me, but when it doesn't suit me, then I don't really want to contribute. But the word fellowship, we're keen for a bra, we're keen for the chat. But you know, this takes things to another level. We contribute. Hebrews 13:16 says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. That word share there, to share what you have, to koinonia what you have. And when we share what we have, that's a sacrifice that's pleasing to God. It's what God wants to see in our hearts. They devoted themselves to the sharing. Thank you. I need some encouragement. All right, so I need some encouragement, and I get sidetracked as well. All right, so let's do another little study here. Is the word fellowship in Acts 2:42, the word koinonia translates into fellowship a couple of times as well. So let's have a look at that just to get a broader sense of the word fellowship. 1 John 1 verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard we proclaim to you so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. All right, so he says, let's do this thing so that we can have fellowship with each other. So again, unless we like-minded, unless we do this thing, unless I share with you, we cannot have fellowship with one another. But once we have fellowship with one another, that fellowship is going to be the same as the fellowship that I have with the Father. He says, and indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, that's also quite a wow moment for me when I read that, because it's saying that the fellowship that we have with one another, the same word is used as the fellowship that I have with my Father in heaven. It's not like there's one word used for this fellowship, which is like an A category fellowship, and then there's a B category fellowship here. It's like one and the same. We are a family. Our father, our brothers, we're a family, and it's one type of fellowship that we're called to have. I was thinking, trying to think of like an example to use, but the love that I have for my wife and the love I have for my children, I mean, it's, you know, don't ask me to try and stack up or try and explain the difference, or it's the same thing. Our love that we have with our father and the love that we have with one another. Obviously, they're different. The way I love my wife is there's some difference, and it's not exactly the same. But don't ask me to categorize, you know. And that's what Paul's saying here is the fellowship that we have with the Father is the same as the fellowship we have with one another. Transparency with the Father, the intimacy that we have with the Father, the way we give and contribute towards our relationship with our Father in heaven should be the same as the way we give and contribute in fellowship with one another. All right, talking about the Father, and we go into the Trinity. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. All right, so there's grace from Lord Jesus, there's love from God, and then there's fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So again, it's the same word that's used, koinonia, is our fellowship that we have with the Holy Spirit, the fellowship that the Trinity has in amongst themselves. And then in Corinthians, maybe we can turn to Corinthians. This is something I'd like to spend some time on, is if we go to 1 Corinthians 10 verse 16. 1 Corinthians 10:16 says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? In that scripture, the word that is actually coined in here is that word participation. So now we've gone from understanding that the word fellowship that we have with our Father in heaven is the same as the fellowship that we have with one another. But how about the fact that that word koinonia is used for probably the most sacred moment that we can have with our Father when we participate in his body and we participate in his blood. Right, so if we talk about the depth of that word fellowship, I think this is probably like as deep as it gets in my mind. Is that when Jesus says, this is my body which is broken for you, and we partake of that body. When you all know that feeling when you're partaking of the body and you get that revelation, or you partake of the bread, you're like, wow, this is the body of Jesus that was broken for me. And then you drink the grape juice or the wine, and this is the blood of Jesus that was shed for me. And that is the same word, friends, koinonia. It's like Jesus saying here, come and have of me. That is what fellowship actually is. It's the braai, which is lekker. It's the coffee after church in the corner there, which is lekker. But there's so much more to it than just that. I think we're living on the surface, you know. It's like there's so much below the surface. So this word, no, participate. When you participate, it's different to spectating as well, isn't it? It's easy to spectate, easy to stand back and watch what's happening. When you participate, you get in there, you get onto the field, you get you get tired, you get your feet dirty, you get your hands dirty, and you get involved. That's the word participate. That there's something that we all participate together in this thing of fellowship that we have together. So maybe just as I kind of draw this thing to a close, this word koinonia, this fellowship is not normal, all right? It's not natural. It's something just from doing this study for myself, from digging into the word, it's something supernatural. All right, so what non-believers do around the braai, that's normal, that's easy. You can go and sit and talk nonsense for a couple of hours and come up with conversation. That's one thing. But this fellowship that we have with one another is not normal. It's not natural, it's supernatural. And the only way we can do something supernatural is when we are engaged with our Father. So that fellowship that comes from our Father, we're able to have with one another. We can't try and swing that around. Paul says in the one scripture in Corinthians we referenced that he shared himself with them and then they could have fellowship. Before he had shared himself, and that means he shared the gospel with them. Until that moment, they couldn't have fellowship with one another. So until the fellowship between us and our Father in heaven, before we participate between us and our Father in heaven, we're not going to be able to participate or have fellowship with one another in the way that God intended us to. So that's just something for us to keep in mind, is that this fellowship that we have is supernatural. That's when people out there look at us and say, wow, these guys are radical. Wow, there's something different about these guys. The word says that they knew that they were disciples because of the way they loved one another. Right, because there was something in it. The way that they treated one another was not the same as what happens in the world. It was supernatural. All right, so maybe you can ask Jono, do you mind bringing your team up again? And there's one more scripture I'd just like to reference as the team gets ready behind me. That's from Philippians 3:10. Says, to know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him to death. That word share is the word koinonia as well. And the word, the context of the word here is sharing in the sufferings of Jesus, is sharing in the life of Jesus. As we share in his body, as we share of his blood, we share in his sufferings as well. And it just gives a very intimate meaning for me of the word fellowship. A lot more intimate than what we probably think of when we, you know, if you think of the example we use, the Table Mountain being a mountain. All right, that's koinonia being fellowship. Friends, it's so much deeper than that, so much more than that. Would you please stand with me? I'd love to pray for us, and just in my prayer this morning, I'm just going to ask just that God would put this thing deep inside of us. I really believe as we look at the scriptures, we look at koinonia, We try and compare that, what we see in the scriptures, when we get the full meaning of that word, fellowship, to what our limited understanding or limited picture of that is. There's a lot that is left wanting.